and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Valley and Organics Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Amit Thakkar from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Valley Organics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating us in today's earnings call, and I hand it over to them for the opening remarks. We first have with us Mr. Arvind Chheda, Managing Director, and Mr. Mihir Shah, Senior Finance Manager. Without any further delay, I would request Mr. Arvind Chheda to start with the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you at the earnings conference call for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2024. During Q2, the overall performance for the quarter was impacted mainly due to the lower agrochemicals demand, while we saw a reversal in demand rise in pigment segment showcasing increase in sales volume. Our PAP product achieved an average of 455 metric tons per month in this quarter, which is peaked at 506 metric tons in the month of September. It is important to note that prices of all the products have corrected significantly. Even though the growth from the sales volume was around 7%, it was neglected by 5% due to the price corrections. Looking ahead, with factors like a growing volume in PAP, stabilization of AJ4, progress in Ahmedabad, and OAP nearly completion, we are optimistic that the financial year 2025 will bring about a more prosperous year for us. Now, I hand over the call to our Senior Finance Manager, Mihir Shah, who will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter. Thank you. Over to Mihir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call. I hope you had a chance to study our financials and earnings presentation, which we have uploaded on our website and exchanges. Let me start by briefing you on the company's financial performance on the consolidated basis for the second quarter, and then followed by the performance of the first half financial year 2024. For the second quarter, the revenue from operations declined by 23.1% on year-on-year basis, but grew marginally by 0.6% on quarter-on-quarter basis to around rupees 203 crores. The EBITDA reported was around 16 crores, and the EBITDA margin for the quarter was 7.63%. Net profit reported was around 5 crores, and PAT margin for the quarter were about 2.3%. Our revenue contribution from the business segment as follows: hydrogenation accounted for 47%, ammonolysis chemistry accounted for 26%, and chlorination at 19%. Coming to the first half of the financial year 24, the revenue from operations stood at around 405 crores, which was a decline by 23.6% on a YOY basis, with EBITDA of 39 crores and EBITDA margin was about 9.73%. The net profit stood at around 20 crores, was 4.87%. For this first half, the revenue contribution from the chemistries are as follows: hydrogenation accounted for 43%, ammonolysis was 26%, and chlorination was 24%. Thank you, and I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Poti from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just wanted to get the management sense on capital allocation in the form of a buyback. The reason being, I mean, I believe a lot of our capex is done, and we've mentioned in the past that for the next 2-3 years, we're not doing any major capex. And it is noticeable to see that our stock price is actually below the price at which we were trading during the COVID period. So this would be a good way to reward long-term shareholders who want to stick on with the company, and the promoters also can increase their stake in the company, indicating their long-term faith in the company. So just wanted to know the company's thoughts on how do you think about buybacks in general.
Thank you. Hi, Rohit. So this is Mihir. So buyback is definitely an area that we are looking at, but given the current cash flow situation, and also we do have capexes. Yes, you're right. We don't have any major capexes to the tune of, you know, 100 crores or 200 crores of big project, but we do have smaller projects of 20-25 crores that will continue to come in. So for that particular reason, we are right now, for the moment, we are looking at retaining that cash for utilizing towards that capex. Even for the current year, we are going to do a capex of around 80-90 crores. So for that, we will need the cash flow that is coming in. If you look at our packs, it is quite low from that perspective. So we are in fact looking at a term loan also. As far as buyback is concerned from the management, not in the immediate future, but maybe going forward, something could arise.
Sure. So a couple of questions here. So one, if you could elaborate what is the maintenance capital expenditure for our company, and what is the 80-90 crore that we are spending on this year? That was one. And second part is, it's sort of on buyback, it's sort of a tricky situation, right? So the stock price is cheap when there is pessimism, and when things normalize, the price tends to increase and the buyback becomes relatively less attractive. So how do we think of this trade-off in that context?
So to answer your first question, so our maintenance capex comes around 20-25 crores, 30 crores on an average. But what happens is that most of our units are quite old. So every year we take up one particular unit and kind of work towards it, debottlenecking, making the built facade infrastructure a little better. So for that purpose, so for example, Ahmedabad, where our capex is around 18 to 20 crores, which is happening in this year, is a part of that process. Even our Sarigam plant, Tarapur plant, these are old plants, so we need to put up our ETPs, change some, high levels like warehousing or something of that sort. So all of those come in, so that's a total breakup of what capex we are planning to do in that 80-90 crores. 30 crores is about maintenance, other thing 20 is... it's a little bit more towards process changes that on PAP level. So these are the two big ones, Ahmedabad and PAP, and the others are smaller. You know, DCS system is coming in at Tarapur, so we are putting that. WAPI R&D center is coming in, so we are trying to do work around that. So those are the kind of capexes that we are doing. To answer your second question, yes, when things normalize, the prices will increase, so buyback becomes difficult. But at the same time, we are right now more focused about these capexes that we have to do, because some of them involve debottlenecking. So we prioritize that right now.
Understood, sir. That was helpful. Could you give a little more of an update on PAP and OAP? have we hit the 600-800 per month target that we have set out to achieve, or does it require the 20 crore capex that you were talking about? And I believe in the past you mentioned that around this time we'll be able to give a clarity on OAP as well.
Correct.
Also, in addition to that, the pharma intermediates also, if you have begun supplying to RP Pharma Labs, it will be helpful to hear.
So I'll start with PAP. PAP, we so our earlier guidance was that by first half we'll touch 500 tons per month. So we have successfully touched that. We have crossed a little bit by to 506 tons per month in September. So we are progressing towards meeting our set. So we are by the end of the year we want to reach the 700-800 target. So we are in process. Having said that, in the current quarter itself, the demand has gone down, so we've produced less, but that is on account of demand going down, not really our capability. Second, yes, the 20 crore capex that I'm talking about is a part of, so earlier also I've mentioned, we are doing some process changes in order to reach to that 800-900 tons per month. So it is a part of that process. Coming to OAP, we were at a yield of 90-95% purity. Now we have touched 99. We still need to go to 99.5, but we are looking, but it's looking positive. So by the end of this year, that will also, that should also ideally come online. Third was the pharma intermediate. Like I earlier have mentioned, it's a multi-purpose plant, so there are about 12 products that will get manufactured. Out of that, we'll take phase-wise. So first 4 or 5 products are now set. So we've also got revenues from Pharma Intimates project in this quarter, and good amount, growing, but good amount. So it should stabilize by the end of the year. So all 8-10 products will come online from Q1 next year.
Okay, so across the chemistry, what is the utilization right now?
Across the chemistry, utilization is still low. We are somewhere around 55-60% for the quarter.
Each of the chemistry, is it?
Your PAP is significantly down. Sarigam, not PAP, PCP. So Sarigam, which is chlorination, we are at somewhere around 50%, 50-55%. While the others are still at a higher percentage. So ammonolysis is somewhere around 80%, PAP is around 50%, and hydrogenation, apart from PAP, is around 60%.
Understood. So last question for now, I'm just curious to know, if I see the PAP, right, so we have, India was predominantly importer, but now we have a lot of plants, right, from Granules. So Granules is coming up. Sadhana is trying to scale up, and their technology, they claim it to be a better technology. And suddenly we are going from probably import dependent, if I see all the capacities coming up, including Panoli as well, we are looking at probably exporting from our country. So does that I believe including the new CAPEX that we are putting of 20-odd crore, we spent around 250 crores in PAT project. And in the past, we talked about maybe expanding our paracetamol project as well. So does it ruin the economics, what used to exist in the past with this all this new capacity coming in? Because I don't think the Chinese capacity shutdown was beyond 150,000 to 110,000 is what I believe has happened. So could you speak about the economics of PAT under this new condition with the lower pricing and the new capacity coming up?
Sure. So you're right. The margins earlier when the markets, the Chinese companies shut down, so definitely it became very attractive in India and the margins were significantly, improved. But having said that, we still have a lot of imports. So even with us coming in and other competitors also coming in, there'll be more than enough room for everyone. As far as exports are concerned, yes, it is a horizon, but most of our PAP is going to go to our subsidiary company. So out of the 800-850 tons that we'll produce a month, at least 700-750 is going to go to Valiant Laboratories. So as far as we are concerned, unit dynamics won't impact as much because the pickup or the take-up of our production is already there. For the balance, we have to search the market, yes, and we are already in the process of doing so. Margins have squeezed. Now that all of them have come in, margins have definitely lowered than what it used to be. But it's still what it used to be, say, around 4-5 years ago, historically. How it used to be historically, that is where it is. So we did see a gold rush in between, and now it's going back to normal. So as such, that is not a problem as far as the demand is concerned. Coming to your other question capex of the 20 crores that you were asking about. We will have to do that. It is not really to expand a product. It is really to bring all our processes in line and achieve the quality stable basis. So we'll have to get those changes done. So that is there, yes, from 250, it will probably go to around 270 crores of project. But once we achieve that scale, it will be good dynamics or a good economies of scale that we'll get.
So just curious, with the 270 crore capex on PAP, on the current margin, whatever we have right now, post the squeezing and everything, what would be the payback period that we are expecting from that for the 270 crore? Is it 3, 5, 7? What would that be?
So earlier we were looking at around a 3-year payback. I don't have the calculation exactly with me, but we were looking at. But the prices have down, which I need to account it and probably rework on the payback period. And the prices are quite erratic, so it is difficult to figure out where our payback is going to be at this moment. And other problem is that it will largely depend on when we achieve our full capacity utilization. It is because our fixed costs are higher. So once we do that, probably then getting to a payback period calculation will make more sense. Right now, it will be all in an assumption basis.
Understood. No, fair enough. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll get this clarity. That will be helpful.
We are waiting for the prices to really stabilize. It was it's almost a 15-18% drop from previous quarter to this quarter.
Understood. And last question, what is our plan with the Valiant laboratory stake? We hold roughly 30-33% there.
We hold that much.
So what is our plan there? We're not consolidating, it's a separately listed entity, so do we plan to monetize it or give it to the shareholders? Is there any plan there?
No, we haven't got to that yet. So for now, it will stay as it is. No plan to, exit or any of that.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for your time and thank you for your patient answering. I'll go back to the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is in the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question, our stake in Valiant is around 35%. So why are we consolidating it? Why aren't we showing it as a separate line item?
No, so we became 35% only now on 6th of October once it got public. So before that, we were at around 45%. 46%.
Going forward, we won't be consolidating it.
Yeah, it won't be a line-by-line consolidation from next quarter.
Got it. And sir, one question. Why have our gross margins come down QOQ? So are there any inventory losses?
In fact, QOQ gross margin hasn't come down. It is more or less stable at around 35%.
Yeah, so the prices have decreased. So why would the gross margin...
We have volume growth also come in, no? Due to AJ4, due to pharma intermediate, due to PAP volume increase. So that has increased. Raw materials have also stabilized. So that way, gross margins have not moved significantly.
Okay, and how does the pricing work with our customers?
Sorry, I didn't follow.
how does the pricing work with our customers?
So we have about 60% of sort which are quarterly contracts with the customers, and then balance is monthly and spot, probably at an equal level.
So, sir, when I believe 1 to 2 years back, when the raw material prices were increasing, we were getting hit because our contracts, we were having quarterly contracts, and we weren't able to pass on the increases immediately. Now, when
right.
the raw material prices are decreasing, shouldn't we get the benefit of this?
We should, ideally, but the demands and the price, that is with an assumption that the prices will remain constant. Right, the selling, the finished product. So if it's a declining market where the buyer is at a, you know, powerful end with strong negotiating power, so we have to kind of compromise into our margins in order to remain competitive in the market.
Got it. Okay, understood. And sir, one question was on chlorination. Our volumes are still very low in the chlorination segment. So
yes.
We used to do around 4,000 per quarter. Now we are doing 2,000. So are we losing market share in this segment?
No. We are not losing market share. It is simply no demand.
So, but a 50% drop. Because if we,
yes.
this, I believe chlorination is mainly going for agrochemical segment. And if we
No. Chlorination. Agrochemical. Sorry, I heard something else.
Yeah. So, and if we look at the commentary of domestic agro players, they are reporting pretty flat volume growth, but they are getting hit by lower realization. But in our case, they are getting hit by both lower volumes and lower realization.
Right.
So if you could just comment what's happening in the segment.
It was basically the exports were more in the chlorophenols than the local market. And because of this Russia and Ukraine war, this European markets are in a problem. If you see the results of the Lanxess and BASF, they all dropped around 50%, you know. So the demand in the export market has decreased like anything. So that has hit the volumes of chlorophenols.
Okay. Okay. And was there any, the fire incident which happened last year, was there any impact because of it? Did we lose any market share or something like that?
No.
Okay.
Customers are still there, but the demand is not there because of that agro molecule what they are manufacturing.
Right.
Is a problem. So I think next year also, there may be some demand from Jan onward, we see. But not to the earlier levels, I tell you.
Got it. And sir, how much of our sales is to RT Group and purchases also from the RT Group company?
So sales comes to about 20% approximately, and purchase is a little higher than 50%.
Okay, and the 20% majorly will be to our Valiant Labs.
RT. So when I say RT, I meant RT Industries alone. With Valiant Labs, it's almost 85% of our PAP goes to them. So if you put that in the mixture of within the group sales, then it will be somewhere around 40-45%.
Okay. And sir, our other expenses do not seem to decrease at all because they have constantly been around 30-35 crores, even when the volumes have decreased. So what proportion of our other expenses, you know, is fixed in nature?
What proportion? I think, I don't have that answer ready, sorry. But let me just think. I will have to get back to you. What proportion is fixed, I'll have to get back to you. Otherwise, overall, it's not decreasing is because, like you rightly said, most of them would be fixed in nature, except for the power and steam. Most of them would be fixed in nature. For example, insurance, then the other components, which maybe, you know, if you reach out to me separately, I'll probably be able to give you once I work out.
Sure, sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from Vivo Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
We wanted to understand how is the situation on ground now? Like, are we seeing any rebound in prices, or is the outlook slightly better for H2?
No. In fact, it's slightly poorer than the previous quarter.
Okay. We had actually guided for like a 800 crore standalone revenues and 12% margins in the last con call, if I'm not wrong. So are we changing that guidance? Are we revising it downwards?
To an extent, yes, because we were hoping a revival in Q3, but at around mid of November, we don't see that revival. So keeping that in mind, we will be a little, maybe somewhere around 800 still, but not on the higher side, but probably towards the lower side of 800. So that is where we will be. Margin, yes, if Q3 remains poorer than Q2, then margins will definitely get impacted significantly.
All right.
But I will not be able to comment on this margin because it's too uncertain. I don't want to see a number and then not live up to it.
Right, right. So out of all the chemistries, like which is the chemistry you would say is seeing some green shoot or is slightly less affected than the others, or it's all three are equally
As far as price corrections are concerned, it's across all chemistries. In the margin, fluorination is usually the best one, but because of low demand, that has been significantly hit. What has not moved, actually none. We saw some revival in our ammonolysis chemistry, but again, given the current situation where we are in the current quarter, so those volumes have also kind of again come down. So I think all of these products are more or less impacted in some way or the other, price or volume.
All right, perfect, got it. Thank you, that's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand, this is my first call. So I wanted to understand your expectations of what changes in the market might happen for us. Like, for example, you said chlorination utilization is around 50-55%. So what changes in the market should happen for us to increase this utilization to, let's say, 80-90%? So what should pick up in terms of macro or other factors that you think for us to improve the utilization in
So mainly the demand needs to improve, and most of our customers' end user base is Europe. So Europe market needs to stabilize for our exports to, our direct and indirect exports to improve, which is majorly 50% of our chlorination. So once that improves, the chlorination will be back on track. As far as we are seeing what the trends are right now, this financial year will end up being on the lower end. We are hoping some revival will come in, FY25.
And sir, this demand is affected, I understand, one, because of war, but do you see the inventories are also still there in the system and those inventories still have to come down? Is that the case?
Yeah, so partially, yes, inventories are in there in the system, so that also has to come down. But at the same time, it's also the demand in the Europe end. So they have also reduced to half. It's not that they are holding up inventory now. Their projection itself has gone to half for the year.
And sir, in terms of supply, so like we have increased our supply substantially. So do you see the supply increasing in the system or decreasing? What is your comment on the supply across the
Our supplies have increased because our volumes have increased. My volume growth from previous quarter to this quarter was about 22%. So it is directly on account of that.
No, sir. I'm talking in terms of the supply for like chlorination across the industry. So like we have increased the capacities, has the industry also increased the capacities or has decreased? Or
so we haven't increased capacity in chlorination. Chlorination, overall, the product that we are in, it's a very stable market, so not much of that kind of expansion comes in. It's Valiant Organics in India and a couple of four or five companies in China together cater to the entire demand. So nobody within the chlorophenols that we produce has increased capacity.
Okay. And sir, in terms of hydrogenation?
Hydrogenation is now a very wide terminology. So we have almost like 20 products under hydrogenation. So each one actually needs to be considered separately in terms of expansion or competition.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohit Potti from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So I wanted to ask about the agri segment again. So among all the chemicals that we have, so parachlorophenol is the largest product. Is that right?
Sorry, I lost you in between. Parachlorophenol and?
No, is that the largest product in that segment?
In chlorination, yes.
Yeah, perfect. And we mentioned in the past that we are planning to add 2-3 more molecules in chlorophenol. Yes. So how is that coming along?
So we have started with one of the molecules. It is just very early to really state about it. But another couple of weeks and we'll be producing that to a good sizable volume. And the other one is still being worked upon.
And so will this contribute materially to volumes or no? It's still a niche molecule.
It's a niche molecule. It will improve our profitability, but on the top line, it may not significantly have, like on the entirety, it may not have a significant impact, but it will definitely help increase, you know, it's a margin accretive.
Understood. And so sort of following up on the previous participant question, so I believe we had increased our capacity in chlorination from 4,500 to 18,000. This is done in 2020 probably. But
In over last 4-5 years. Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in that context, did anybody else, I mean, so were we the last one to increase capacity in that space or did anybody else increase post that?
So in India, it's basically just Valiant Organics. So there's no direct competition for these products in India. When we increased our production, it was mainly on the lines that due to environmental issues and some other technicalities, the companies in China shut off. So because of that, we increased ours and we took the market share. Some of them have reopened, but they've moved to Mongolia where they become unoperational for 3-5 months of the year. So overall, in fact, there's been a volume drop, but not an increase. Arvinda, is that correct?
No, but the demand has gone down. We were expecting the demand will grow, but because of the Europe problem, the demand has just slumped again in the last 2 years.
No, fair enough, sir. So, but capacity-wise, other than us, nobody has expanded over the last 4-5 years,
no.
Right?
No, they are not expanded. They are just moved from China to Mongolia because of some environmental problems. But in Mongolia, in winter, they have minus 30 degree temperature, so they cannot run the plant for 2-3 months.
Understood. And once you shift, am I right in thinking the chlorination, chlorine being a toxic gas and being an important ingredient, I mean, getting access to the gas also, it might not be as economical to produce in Mongolia, even if they ship there. Is that right? I mean, our pocket margins are benefited because of our location and our access to the raw materials available in Gujarat itself. Is that right to think that way?
Chlorine prices may not impact much because here we get almost at 1 rupee per kg, you know.
No, I'm saying the Chinese players will not be as competitive because of our advantage being in Gujarat and getting the chlorine.
Chlorine prices may not be much impacted on the pricing, actually, in China also or Mongolia also.
Okay. Understood. So that was helpful. And so is there any particular crop or something that needs to come back up or, I mean, is parachlorophenol, a uniform agrochem product that any agriculture revival in Europe will help us? Is that question make sense?
So that molecule demand should come basically, you know.
So just to add on to that, we are B2B, so we exactly do not know where the end use is. So our customers do not disclose where the end use is. So we won't really be able to correlate which crop needs to come back.
Okay, okay. So you don't know if it is used for any particular pest or any particular...
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. You don't know what the exact end use is. Okay.
Yes.
They will not reveal also, you know.
Okay, sir. So, and the dyes chemicals with 80% utilization, have we hit the old margin?
Sorry, what? Dyes what?
We hit 80% utilization this quarter, you said. So, has the margins also reverted back to our good margins of mid-teens?
For the quarter, yes. But in the current quarter, it is again on a downward trend. So, it was probably just a... one time in between peak and then it's come down again.
Okay, understood. I'll get back in the picture. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshada Dio from Vivo Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to know, can you tell me more about the companies and why they shut down in China and what was the volume they were producing before they shut off?
Generally, they are on 802,000 tons capacity each plant.
Okay. And do you know the total market? What Chinese markets are what Chinese companies are producing?
Well, if you take it around your global market, is around 5,000 to 6,000 tons per month.
Okay. And this was how much of this was being catered by China?
We make around say 1,200 maximum on average before day. The balance is China, you know.
Okay. And what happened there? Why has the company shut down?
Yes, because of the environmental problem they had. But now they are all in line. There is no problem at all now.
Okay, so this capacity is also supposed to come back into the market along with the Indian capacities that have started?
But as per the latest report, what we get, you know, 2 to 3 companies have closed down again because of the economics.
Okay.
But not sure 100%, but this is the market report what we are getting, you know.
Okay.
So just to add to that, the company shut down and returned, that was a couple of years ago. And these companies that Arunbha is saying right now, that shutdown is because of the current market scenario being so low that 2-3 companies couldn't manage to operate.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from Vivo Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Just wanted to understand, for our products, for example, chlorination chemistry, what is our scale of operations compared to our competitors?
As in our market share, you mean?
Yeah, our size. Or
so, like I said, in the domestic market, we are, 100%, we have 100% market share. There are no other competitors.
Compared to the Chinese
In the Chinese, Arunbhai just mentioned around, how much? 4 to 5, no.
Now almost 3 to 3 must be there, out of 6.
He's trying to get to, if we are making
1200. Demand has fallen from 6,000 to 3,000 now.
So demand is also fallen.
Right. No, I mean to say our capacities compared to the Chinese capacities, the Chinese players' capacities.
So their capacities are on maximum 1,000 to 1,200 maximum, what we get the market news. Now our capacity is 1,800.
Okay.
Capacity. But maximum we can operate at 1,600 per month.
Okay. So our cost of production is definitely not more than their cost of production.
No. We can easily compete Chinese. There is no problem at all.
Okay. So all right. And that's true for the other two chemistries also as well, right? Except chlorination.
No, not necessary. So for example, PAP, they have good enough of manufacturing and good enough of capacities there. So we are at the same price level as them in the domestic market. We are not lower.
All right. Got it. So just wanted to, in this scenario, even the Chinese players are getting, are facing the same difficulties as us. Like,
they also have the depression. Maybe.
Correct. All right. Perfect. Thank
you. They also need depressed selling also then.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, star in one. The next question is on the line of Rohit Poti from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I keep going back into the queue just to give others opportunity, and I had a couple more questions anyway. So on dyes and pigments, right? So we are one of the largest manufacturers, not the largest, in para-nitroaniline. And I believe till October 2022, we had anti-dumping duty benefit. At least on the government website, I couldn't find anything beyond 22. So how are we? I mean, are we competitive as compared to the Chinese players there? And how are the economics? Is dumping duty still exist? And how are the economics right now?
No, I don't think there's an anti-dumping on PNA. But we are definitely competitive. There is no problem. In fact, there are another 3-4 competitors who are in the domestic market also, apart from the Chinese. So it's all at equal pricing with China. So there's no anti-dumping as such right now.
Okay, understood. So, but in this, like in chlorination, are we competitive? Our margins on average are good despite us competing head-on with China.
It is good.
It is more competitive than PAP.
It used to be, given the current market dynamics, it is under stress, but on a normal basis or a standardized basis, it is good market.
If your capacity utilization goes to 75% to 80%, then it is more profitable.
No, fair enough, sir. I'm just asking that as compared to PAP, when we compete against China, this is something which we are very competitive against China. Is that a right way to think about
it?
Yes. Understood, sir. And in chlorination in general, I'm curious to know, so why is it that only India, one player, and China, 3-4 players, exist in the space? Why can more players not come in the space? Is there any particular barriers to entry there?
No. The applications are very limited, and the demand growth is not there, you know. It's constant to 5,000 to 6,000 per month, and it is not increasing. So if any additional capacity comes, it's not viable for the new player to compete in chlorophenols.
Understood. And how many suppliers of PMCB are there in the country? Is there anybody other than RT Industries?
I think there are. I don't know much, but RT is definitely the most prominent one.
Understood. That is what from me. You've been very patient in answering, and it must not have been difficult to have a conference call after such a difficult result. So thank you for doing this and providing all the clarification. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it too.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Jagdish Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, and happy Diwali to you and your team. I have two questions. The first is, like, what will be the top line of OAP when it comes to online, and what will be the capacity utilization since you are looking into for FY25?
So OAP, the last I checked, the prices are correcting, so the top line will definitely keep changing, but approximately somewhere around 30 crores is what I had last analyzed, that it would work out at 100 tons per month production.
Okay, so 100 tons per month and 30 crores will be the major top line you are saying, right?
Down 30 crores, yeah. But this was sometime back. The prices may be different right now, which I am not aware of.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you. Second, I have an hypothetical question. So when a first participant who asked for cash back, sorry, like buyback, I have another, I have an opposite question, I have an opposite view. When the market is down and there is no big, there is no big advantage for us, right now, is it the correct time to do a big kind of capex, right? Like, why we are not into that trend, why our CapEx is little bit down this year?
Just let me reframe, because your voice was a little unclear. You're saying that when the markets are down and the year is also low, why are we doing the CapEx that we are doing?
No, I'm asking why are we not increasing it? Because we know that in the coming times, we will have much more advantage over our competitors, right? When we have a capacity of large elephant, we can do it, right? So why we are not into that? That
is my question. Should be, right now, all our plants are operating at 50% capacity. By expansion, we are only going to be underutilized even further. That is one side of it. The second is that we've already done expansion in the last 3-4 years. So, redoing right now would not be ideal. We want to stabilize our 3 projects that we have taken at hand and still bringing it up to the mark that we want to achieve. So, we are focusing more on that.
Okay, sir. And final question from my side is, like, what kind of revenue can we expect from EAP when it is fully utilized, and what will be our margins on that front if it is fully utilized from the current 50%?
So margins, unfortunately, I will not be able to disclose, but as far as top line is concerned, point is that the prices are correcting very fast. So I don't know whether I should take it at 300 rupees, 250 rupees or lower, I'm not too sure, but you can do the math. You know, we are 1,000 tons capacity. If the optimum capacity utilization is 80-85%, so basically 800-850 tons per month, and then whatever pricing that you may want to consider it, that would be the top line.
Sir, just a final question on this, man. Like, I'm continuing the current question. So what is the PAP price which have varied from in the last 2 years? Like, now what is the lowest price and what is the highest price it has went to?
So lowest is somewhere around 250 in the recent times. And the highest it has also touched around 680 or so, if I'm not wrong.
And what you will make out of it, if it is highest, 680, what you will make out of a ton?
Sorry, can you come again?
Sir, if it is 680 or 650 refresh, and what will you get for selling 650? What is your margin there?
I will not be able to disclose the margin, I'm sorry. But that 650 or 680 was when the Chinese companies had a shutdown in China and the imports were not there. So that is the time when, PNCB, the key raw material, went up from China, and hence PAP went up. And this was also along with the COVID surge on paracetamol. So that is why all these two, three reasons put together was at the maximum end. But historically, the prices of PAP has been around what it is right now, which is around 215.
Okay, sir. Fine, sir. Thank you, and happy Diwali to you and your entire team. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again, sir.
Mr. Patel, can you speak a bit louder? Your audio is not clear.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, when you mentioned that 2-3 companies from China might have closed down, so I wanted to ask, how difficult is it to start and stop the plant? Is it like a long process, or it can be done easier, like quickly?
It depends on them, whether they're going from some other molecules or they come back in this chlorophenols. It depends on the company's management methods. But it is not a problem to come back also.
Understood. Okay. And sir, given the current situation, it feels like even though we have diversified over the last 4-5 years, it feels like everything has gone down in tandem for us to give this kind of performance. So do you think over next 3-5 years, we'll be able to sort of get into products which are not correlated with each other, in the sense that if some product is not doing well, other product might keep on doing well? Right now it feels like all the products have gone down. So what would be your view of the company 3-5 years out, and the industry as well?
See, in the current situation, yes, they seem to have gone down in tandem, but that is because of, macro reasons and the war and an entire region going down. Otherwise, there were times when dyes and pigments was down, but agro was doing great without any issue. And so these are not really interlinked chemistries, but for one reason or the other, at this moment, all the chemistries are down, but it has never happened in the past.
Okay. And sir, when you say the chlorination demand in Europe has gone down, so are there other markets that we can approach? Or like, I think 50% of chlorination comes from the domestic field. So domestic market has also been impacted, or there can be other markets?
To some extent, local is also impacted.
Okay.
And we are in other regions. We do sell to China. We do sell to Japan. So there are. But our domestic customers being more dependent on Europe. So it's more indirect.
Understood. And sir, do you think 3 to 5 years out, we'll be able to sort of, your reading of macro scenario can be much better than what it is right now in terms of different chemistries? So can you give your views on how can macro pan out over next 3 to 5 years?
Yes, we definitely we do not see this being a long term issue. It is definitely in the next 3 to 5, so quite a large horizon. We believe that in next 1-2 years itself, this should turn around, and we should be back to our earlier performance.
Sir, that's very reassuring to hear. Thanks a lot for your answers, and wish you a very happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshita Adio from Vivo Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So in your opening remarks, you mentioned you're seeing a reversal for the pigment sector. So can you throw more light on the same? Is this demand, volume, price? How are you seeing the reversal?
So it was more from sales volume that increased in the ammonolysis. So basically, ammonolysis is the dyes and pigments chemistry. So we saw volume pick up in the Q2 numbers, but we also simultaneously mentioned just a little time back that given the current scenario is that it is again seeing a downward trend. So although Q2 dyes and pigments looked very promising, but our current scenario seems to be weak again.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we were able to answer your questions positively. If there are any queries, if you wish to reach out to the management, please reach out to our IR advisors, Valorem, and they will be able to help you ahead. Thank you so much. Happy Diwali.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude today's conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.